You're listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. If you haven't realized it, history is full of stories.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
And it's not just facts and figures and dates of events that we learned in elementary school, but it's full of real interesting stories. And all of these events have stories behind them, and they have multiple viewpoints. There's multiple stories behind each of these events. And we all love stories. We all love watching movies. We all love watching TV. We love the underdog stories in our weekly sporting matches. We love stories. And yet, when was the last time you heard someone who said they loved their history class? When was the last time you heard a student get excited about a history lesson? Our guest this week, Cameron Sinclair, is a faculty member at Brookhaven College, and he's also the co-host of a podcast, History Banter. And he's trying to change some of those perceptions about history and show us just how interesting it really is.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
A lot of teachers don't teach it very well. And not necessarily, that's not really an indictment on the teachers themselves, but the way grade school typically structures history, at least junior high and high school anyway, it structures it in a very old school way that focuses very heavily on facts, memorizing people and dates and times and stuff that, generally speaking, most people don't find that interesting. So I think a lot of students get to, at least from my experience, a lot of students get to college and they kind of anticipate it being the same thing. And then they go into it thinking this is going to be really boring. A big part of what I try to do is to do my classes in a very story style format. So I'm telling stories the whole time. Stories about people, about events. I talk about economics and deep stuff like that too. But I try to focus around the narrative elements of it. And I think lots of people respond to that much more than before. And one of the biggest things, one of the most interesting things that I think I find is that younger students or older students will often tell me, I really hated history in high school, but it's actually pretty interesting here. And I think a lot of that is really just simply reformatting it towards something that's interesting. I think that the way it's taught, the facts and the memorization, gives the impression that it's not important. One of the other big problems, I think, with history is the way history is often used in the media and in politics. Anyway, with a lot of history that's contested, which, as historians in the academic field, all of it's contested all of the time, which is part of what we do. But a lot of that gets into the popular form, or particularly in politics, and it gets misused and misrepresented in a way that makes history tell the same history, tells different stories, and that gets abused. And I think people are turned off. You know, either it's boring or it seems like it's just irrelevant to their lives. One of the things I think a lot of students don't understand is the complexity. It all seems very simple when you get out of high school. And, you know, a good example, talking about the Old West, for example. You know, there's a story that most people get when they're kids of cowboys and Indians. Cowboys, settlers pushing out into the plains, fighting the Indians. And maybe you get a little bit of both sides. You get, you know, the cowboys are being killed by the Indians. And you also get the other side of that, you know, settlers and cowboys destroying the Indians. But there's so much more complexity to it when you throw in things like the economy and railroads and Chinese immigrants and Mexican immigrants and all these other people groups, that there's a real deep complexity to all of these things that a lot of people just don't know. Another good example, something like, the founding fathers, for example. You know, politicians always like to say the founders would have liked this, or the founders didn't want this. But when you look at it, you realize all of those guys had pretty different ideas. Some of them very radically different ideas. Some of them would like the things we do today. Some of them would not like the things we do today. And it's a very wide variety. Which people get upset about the complexity of today, or get upset, they get overwhelmed by the complexity of today. People say, oh, in the old days it was simple, it was easy back then. But it's the same, people are the same. You know, the surroundings change, but people's motivations and what they're trying to accomplish, that really doesn't change over time. And I think the complexity is a big part of it. There's lots of stories, elementary school stories, I think, that come around that people are confused about, that are more just funny. You know, things like believing that the old Columbus story, that most everybody thought the Earth was flat, which, you know, in 1492, probably almost no one thought the Earth was flat. Plain and simple, the Greeks knew the Earth was round. Romans knew it. It wasn't a surprise to anybody. People were scared to go because they didn't know what would happen. They might, you know, a sea monster might eat you up. It's kind of the idea. But the idea of falling off the earth, not realistic. Anyway, you get a lot of those kind of things that are just simple stories we get about, you know, pilgrims, for example. And I don't know, teaching college history is fun in a lot of ways, because a lot of what we do is trying to break down those molds that were created before. The pillars that were built up about the different figures in the past, and trying to humanize people. You know, it's guys like Benjamin Franklin. They're not superheroes. They're people just like us who did certain things. And, when they're just a superhero, there's not really an applicable nature to it. It's hard to apply that, what their experiences to our lives. But when you realize they have the same kind of motivations we do, I think it becomes a lot more interesting.
So Cameron and I actually met at a meetup for Trip Fuller, a fellow podcaster and friend. He's the host of the Homebrewed Christianity podcast. And it was shortly after that meetup that Cameron started History Banner podcast with his co-host, Brad.
Well, I started listening to podcasts a long time ago, right? I don't know when they started, but a good 5 or 6 years ago, I found some different podcasts that I just thought was an interesting idea. And I started listening to some. A lot of them tended to be like news radio shows that they would record and then put out as a podcast. And then my brother told me that his friend, Trip Fuller, who we mentioned before, was starting a podcast. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I started listening to it. And it's amazing podcast, Homebrewed Christianity. Everyone should listen to it. And it had a profound effect on me in a lot of ways. But related to podcasts, I just thought it was such an interesting idea of just getting together with someone that you're friends with and just talking about stuff in a humorous way, or however, you know, talk about deep things, talk about silly things. It appealed to me. Part of that is I like to hear myself talk, which is part of the reason I'm a professor. So,
you know, I'm pretty sure that goes for all podcasters and disc jockeys. We all really do love to hear ourselves talk.
That's why we do it. But so I was talking to my friend Brad Folsom, who's a PhD student at UNT with me, and we talked for a while, a year or two, kind of joked about the idea of starting a podcast. But we didn't really know what to do. And there's lots of history podcasts out there. There's lots of different things. And I was like, I don't want to just do something that everyone else is doing. I also didn't want to do something that was going to be extremely labor intensive, because again, we're working on our PhDs, so we don't really have time to dedicate too much time to research and putting together really deep shows and stuff. So between with different ideas, and over last winter break, I guess it was, not this one, but the one before, I had this idea that Brad and I should do what we're good at, which is movies. One thing that we had always done, and you know, getting to know each other at school, we're both incessant TV and movie watchers. So I thought, well, we should put the two together: history, TV, movies. Put it together and do a podcast about that. I felt like I didn't even know if he was really how serious Brad was. But then when we got back to school, he told me he bought software and was basically ready to start recording. So I, okay. So anyway, the basic idea of what we do. So we have a website and we have a podcast. The podcast is dedicated really specifically to representations of history and popular culture. So what we do is we generally pick a movie or, again, TV series, whatever, and then we review it. We try to have guests most of the time. We try to get people who are specializing in that particular area. So sometimes it's me and Brad. Sometimes it includes someone else. Most everybody so far has just been other people at UNT, professors there, different people. But anyway, we just try to look at how that historical story is being represented. You know, we try to do it in a hopefully somewhat funny way, an entertaining way. We try to be – my kind of idea for the podcast is for academics – for it to be focused around academic historians, professionals, people with PhDs or working on PhDs or, you know, but professional historians, professors, but in a casual kind of – maybe not silly is the right word, but in a much more relaxed kind of way.
Whether we realize it or not, we all have our own biases towards history. We all have our own viewpoint and perspective and our own starting point when we look back at historical events and we start telling those historical events and those stories to others. It all depends on where we start from. And what's interesting that Cameron and Brad do with their podcasts is they'll take movies from different time periods, maybe talking about the exact same event, and contrast how over time that story has changed. Maybe it's something as simple as our information about the event has changed, or maybe some of those biases really are showing through.
A lot of it, I think, is message. And you know, when you talk about movies that are more close together time-wise when they're produced, then it's more just about take and what historians have learned. When you take ones that are that far apart, like The Two Alamos, 1960, John Wayne, 2004, there's a lot of other context to that. And one of the interesting things about that one, and I think that's our fourth or fifth most popular, most downloaded one. I think it's my favorite, though, still. We had a professor from UNT, Andrew Torgan, who did it with us, who was fantastic. But we really looked a lot, you know, the John Wayne one. There's this whole background context, because a lot of what the John Wayne movie was doing had a whole lot more to do with the Cold War than it had at all to do with the actual historical Alamo. So you have this kind of whole backstory where John Wayne's talking about freedom, and the story is told in a way where Mexico is almost irrelevant, and it's really John Wayne versus communism is really kind of what that movie is. And it's, you know, told in a Western way, versus the 2004 one, which was supposed to be more of a specifically historical epic, really tried to really tell this historical story and didn't have so much extra storyline. There's a little bit of context there because you have 9/11 a couple of years before that. So you could, I talked a little bit about comparisons of Santa Anna with, you know, Saddam Hussein and bin Laden and things like that. You can kind of see the super evil dictator in the 2004 one. But more that one was more just telling a historical story. Now, in the end, it's not as good of a movie, entertainment-wise, because the 2004 one gets muddled in trying to tell this long story and kind of loses any big message or big moment, whereas the John Wayne one, although it's widely inaccurate to the actual Alamo, it's a much more entertaining movie.
Thanks again for listening to the Something Beautiful podcast. I'm Jonathan Blundell. Our guest this week has been Cameron Sinclair. We appreciate him stopping by and sharing some of his story with us. Our theme song is An Owl Named Orion by danosongs.com. You can also find links to the other tracks we featured this week at somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. Now, as you heard mentioned several times over the last 15 minutes or so, every story has multiple views, and we've just presented one view of our interview with Cameron. If you'd like to hear the entire interview, you can do that by visiting our website at somethingbeautifulpodcast.com, and you can download the entire interview, uncut, unedited, just as it happened. It's there for you. somethingbeautifulpodcast.com. Again, thanks for listening to the show this week. We hope that you enjoyed it, and you'll check out Cameron and Brad's podcast, historybanter.com. Also, just check out the website, if nothing else. They've got some great photos on there, some great tidbits and stories and so forth beyond just the podcast itself. Hope you enjoy what we're doing, and if you have a story you think we should share on the podcast, be sure to let us know. somethingbeautifulpodcast.com, and hopefully next time, your story will be featured right here on the Something Beautiful podcast, stories worth talking about. I'm Jonathan Blundell. Have a great week.